All right. So that had nice soothing music and a voice that was very kind. But here's the other side of that is we have a rubbish trash problem on our campus. And you are the reason why we have a rubbish and trash problem. All of us. Okay. So how can we implement what we just heard? So what we've done as a church is we have invested not a small amount of money, and we've got tons more dustbins and receiving places where you can put trash all around our auditorium, next-gen buildings, in front of the chapel. And what they are is you don't have to lift up anything. It's just a hole, and you can put it in. So three things we are asking you to do. Number one is throw away your trash, okay? Secondly, is if you see some trash of someone who didn't come to church today and hear this announcement, just go ahead and pick it up anyway, please. All right, so if you pass it, just pick it up. But then thirdly is if you see someone who is throwing a bottle or a wrapper on the ground, leaders clarify. And so just go up to them, put your arm around them, smile, and say, you know what, I need to clarify that at Miracle Life we don't do that. We throw away our own trash. All right, and they will love you, they will hug you, they'll be so happy that you said that to them. Okay, so can we do those three things? Throw away our own trash, throw away other people's trash, and then help clarify what we do at Miracle Life. Okay? So, yeah, God's really blessed us, and what we do as stewards is we improve what He gave us. We make it better. All right, we are going through the last week, this week, and next week, which will be our Christmas service at Miracle Life. We're going to have communion together. We're going to sing and look to the Lord. But we're looking at this phrase that we see in Scripture, that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Savior of the world. And we're going to look at some foundational Scriptures here and focus in on today that the Savior of the world is Jesus. And Jesus alone. He doesn't have a committee and He doesn't have other options that He's given to us. He alone is the Savior. So Matthew chapter 1, we pick up the story, Pastor Moffat read from this last week, of Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus. So he was a young man and he was engaged to Mary, who was most likely a teenager. And they were followers of Yahweh. They were people who followed the covenant. And yet God came and spoke to Mary and said, Mary, blessed are you among women. And God has chosen you to fulfill the scriptures that said that the Messiah would come from a virgin. And you are the one. And God explained that to her. She had a question. And then she said, let it be done unto me as you have said. And then she was pregnant. And so Joseph knew he was not the father. So the Bible says he was a just man. He didn't want to make a public scene of her. He didn't want her to, she could have been stoned. But he wanted to just dismiss this engagement quietly. And so as he was thinking about this, an angel came to visit Joseph. Matthew 1 verse 20. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. First and last time in history that this will ever happen. Verse 21. And she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So notice Jesus, what is he going to do? He shall save. So the one who saves is the Savior. And, you know, all around, probably all of you are old enough to have a sports team that was good and now is bad. Just keep looking up front. We know who you are. We know who you are. All right. That could be a number of sports teams, right? But now there's a transfer, there's going to be a new player, there's going to be a new coach, and many, many secular people will say, this person that's coming is the Savior, until they break their ankle, until they don't play well, right? And so there's this person who's going to make this difference. Well, Jesus actually accomplished it. And not just for a few seasons, and not for a few times of big games, but he was and is the Savior of the world. And when Jesus came, he didn't need a team. He didn't need a committee. There's not a vice Savior. There's only Jesus. All right? Now, in the history of God's people, of Israel, of who Joseph was a part of this, they had already an idea that God, our God, the God of Israel, is our Savior. Look at Isaiah 60, verse 16, the second part. And God is speaking about himself. He says, "You shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Israel." And so very, very often in the Old Testament, God would not just be a personal Savior, but he would be a national Savior for the people of God. And so as they would face a challenge, as they would face an army, they would turn to him and God would save them. And this saving experience, it started in Egypt, where God's people were slaves. And they did not have the power to overcome Pharaoh and Pharaoh's armies. They didn't have the wisdom to negotiate a settlement. And they were oppressed, and it had been 400 years. And God saved them from Egypt, out of Egypt, demolished the Egyptian army. And so Israel, they're very... corporate identity and their national thinking was, God saved us. And they would refer to him and they knew him to be Savior. Now, with Jesus coming, he's not just a Savior for a certain group of people, right? And if your team gets a Savior, the new awesome player, well, you certainly don't want your rival to get a Savior, do you? You want them to have them transfer to Saudi Arabia or something, you know? So when Jesus came, he wasn't just Savior for the Jews or for Israel. He became Savior of the world, all of us. So let's go over to Luke chapter 2, and this is another announcement around the time of Jesus. And in this announcement, God shares what he's going to do and who he will be. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields." All right, now we think, oh, that's nice, shepherds living out in the fields. That means they were good shepherds. Shepherds need to smell like sheep. You can't be a laptop shepherd, okay? "And they were keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before him, and the glory of the Lord shone round them. And they were greatly afraid." It's so interesting that so many times before Jesus came, whenever God shows up or one of his angelic messengers, people are afraid. What's God going to do? Are we in trouble? All right. And so the first thing, because the angel wanted them to listen, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to" how many people? All people. And it's either all people or God is a liar. Okay, it is all people. And so this good news announcement is in the New Testament, Jesus used this phrase, and then it's all over the epistles, is the gospel. You know, when we think of the gospel, and we should, we think about Jesus and his work. But it simply means good news. It means there's an announcement, because back then there weren't newspapers. that you had people who would herald an announcement, and in this case, it's a good announcement that is going that you're going to be happy when you hear it. Okay, it means the results are going to be in your favor. And so here the angel is announcing gospel, good news. All right, what is the news? Verse 11, for there is born to you this day in the city of David, Jerusalem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now let that sink in. Here are shepherds. These are not government officials. These are not particularly wealthy people. These are regular, everyday folks. And the angel says that there's born a Savior, and he's born to you. Now, is it the whole world? Yes. But it's for shepherds. He's born for moms. He's born for kids. He's born for people who have degrees and people who didn't finish school. He's born for people who are driving, and he's born for people who are riding bicycles. He's born for people who are riding, who are in Yangos or in crammed into a taxi. He is born for the whole world. He's born to you, a Savior. Verse 12, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so God is announcing peace. God is announcing goodwill. Why? Because of a Savior, because of this person who is being born. So this is clear to the people who heard it. Now, as Jesus lived and as he ministered, there were some who realized he's the Savior. He is my Savior, and I need him to be that. Now, there were others who rejected him. There were Romans who did not see him. They saw him as a threat. There were many of the Jewish leadership that they said, no, that there's 101 reasons why this can't be the Messiah. And they would fight him, and they would argue with him, and they would try to set a trap for him. Let's find, and we got this woman caught in adultery, and if he says to stone her, then people will be afraid. If he says let her go, then he's a heretic, and we've got him, right? Obviously, they brought the woman caught in the act of adultery. Last time I checked, it takes two, baby. The guy wasn't there, was he? The participant, all right? And Jesus always spoke the truth. They could never trap him. They could never fix him, all right? But then there were those who said, this is the Messiah. And one of the declarations is going to be from a group of Samaritans. Now, Samaritans, and we hear about them in the Bible, we've got a whole story called the Good Samaritan. And it isn't amazing, and Jesus told this parable, that even today, among people that might not go to church, if someone does something nice for someone on the road, what do we call them? The Good Samaritan. All right. And Samaritans, when you heard the word Samaritan, those were not good Samaritans, they were the bad guys. Right? They were those people. And it's interesting, my wife and I have lived for lengthy times in three different countries. And in every country, there are those people. When crime goes up, we know who it is. It's not my people, it's those people. The ones that look different, the ones that talk different, the ones with different passports. All right, where we used to live in South Africa, right? Xenophobia. Ah, those South Africans and xenophobias. Well, do you remember a few years ago when there was some Muti murders and people were getting body parts cut out? Who did Zambians chase? to the Catholic Church? The Rwandans. Because it's those people. We know who's causing this trouble, right? Recently in America, it's those people. They're eating our cats. They're eating our dogs. Those people. Right? I'm sorry, but this is just sadly human nature. Right? Hitler was so mad at those people, he killed them. Right? Because they were causing the problems in Germany. Well, the Samaritans were those people. And so Jesus is hanging out with his disciples. And then, you know, where's Jesus? Oh, look at Jesus. He's over there at a well where you draw water. And he's talking to a Samaritan woman. And the disciples are like, what's wrong with this picture? First of all, he's talking to a woman. And it is a Samaritan woman. One of those kinds of women. Right? And so he's engaging with her. And the Holy Spirit, there's words of knowledge, there's words of wisdom, there's stuff about her past, there's stuff about her future, all right? And she realizes this is a prophet. And she recognizes Jesus as the Messiah. So she goes back to her people and says, I've met a man who tells me everything about me. They come, they hear Jesus, they hear the good news. All right. And those people, here's what they say. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him. And we know this is indeed the Christ, who? The Savior of the world. Now, when a Samaritan says he's Savior of the world, that's pretty awesome. Because we've been kept telling, we've got the wrong temple, we've got the wrong worship, but Jesus has come for us. You remember, these were the very same people that when Jesus and his disciples were traveling one time, and the Samaritans did not welcome them, James and John came to Jesus seeking permission. And said, hey, Jesus, we were just thinking. We want to help you out. We know you got a lot of things to do, and we'll take care of this. Jesus, would you like us, because after all, we have this ability, would you like us to call down fire on these Samaritans, suggesting genocide to the Savior of the world? I've got to get that DVD in heaven to see the look on Jesus's face. He's thinking, you fire? I'm thinking about fire. I don't know what he's thinking, but he said, guys, you don't know what spirit you're of, meaning you are being led by a demon. Future apostles having a demonic day, all right? For I didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Save who? The Samaritans that you want to kill. All right? So Jesus is recognized by these Samaritans because they've encountered him, they've heard him, and they said, the person of Jesus, is the Savior of the world. And so it's not a religious system that saves you. Every religion that does not have Jesus at the center of it as Savior, they give you a system. They give you stuff to do of what God expects of you to be okay with God. And very, very sincere people follow these systems, believing that when they do them, that they're okay. There's a system in the eastern part of the world where they crawl on their knees on rocks around a mountain multiple times. Why? Because now God is going to be pleased with them. The system of Hinduism says that you must be loyal to your gods, because there's among 3 million to choose from, but you don't have to have 3 million, but you have to have a few. And you are loyal to them and you do certain things. And that when you're loyal to your God, you don't know until you die if you're going to get out of the cycle of reincarnation. And if you've been loyal enough to your God, then boom, you'll be in nirvana. And it'll be awesome. If not, you'll come back for another round of loyalty to your God. Okay? Now, what do? You got to do some stuff. When PH and I were away a couple weeks ago, we were in Botswana preaching. We were at the Rhema Botswana graduation. Pastor Haley gave a wonderful message to all the relatives and students that had graduated. And so then we got to be with them on church. And then we were flying in airports and stuff. And there was one evening we were in an airport and there were a couple, watched these two guys, very sincere about their faith. And they got their rug and they pointed it a certain way and they prayed. Why? Because that's what's required. That's what you got to do. And then their belief system would say that they would be okay with their God. All right. So it's not a religious system that saves you. It's not a philosophy that saves you. It's not a political system that saves you. If you're a student of world history, a lot of the political systems we keep trying, I don't know if you've read the newspaper recently, they're not working all the time, right? Maybe sometimes there's some good, but so we keep trying to tweak it and get it better, and finally we found the ism that's going to be great. Until it's not, right? And sometimes there's a political person who is going to save their people. And it happens all over the world. And then all you got to do is read history long enough to realize they actually didn't save their people. Right? So it's not a system. It's not a philosophy. It's nothing that you can do. There is a Savior and He has a name. And His name is Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of the world. So the Samaritans, this group of people recognized the followers of Jesus in their lifetime. They realized He is Savior, He is Lord, and they committed their entire life to follow Him. Now, Jesus said, wait, receive the Holy Spirit. They did. He was poured out in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And John and Peter were going to the temple to pray, as was their custom. They walked by a gate called Beautiful, which is on the east side of the Temple Mount. There was a man begging for money. And Peter said, isn't it awesome how many times in the Bible, and Peter said, nobody else said anything, but and Peter said, we all know who those people are in our families, right? That they just say, and we need those folks to be speaking for Jesus. So he said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, he knew he had something, what I have I give you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. And he rose and walked, and God healed him. And then Peter got in trouble, because the Jewish leaders thought we had stopped all these miracles, and now they're happening again. And so they got called in. And here is Peter's response to these religious leaders who, please remember, these are the guys who killed Jesus. It wasn't very long ago that Peter watched, he didn't watch because he left the cross, but he was aware that his Savior died. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, I hope and pray that we can say that about you, whether it's in a family meeting, whether it's a conversation with a friend, whether it's in a business meeting, a board meeting, that it'll be said of you that you rose up and said, filled with the Holy Spirit. All right, so here's what he said. Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you, and to all people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. So what is Peter doing? He's recognizing Jesus is the Savior of this man. This man was saved from his crippled state because of Jesus who is alive. Verse 11, this Jesus is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. There is salvation in no one else. Why? For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Oh, friend, this is the message of the Bible. There is no other name. There is salvation in no one else but Jesus. This is one of the reasons why the message of Jesus is offensive. So, Pastor Walker, are you saying all of these other religions don't lead to salvation? All of these other sincere people, my relatives included. I'm not saying anything. I'm reading the Holy Scriptures. Peter was filled with what? Filled with hate? No. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. This Jesus, this Savior, there is salvation in no other name, in no other person, in no other philosophy. We have to believe this. We have to believe it for ourselves. We have to believe it for the whole world. Now, the religion of our day today, 2024, much of the religion around the world is the religion of tolerance. Tolerance. There's a bumper sticker in America, and it has all the different symbols of the different religions of the world, including a cross representing Jesus. And it says, coexist. Well, I'm happy to coexist. Like, they can be my neighbors. I'm love them. I'll feed them. I'll bless them. But their system does not lead to God. And it's super duper clear in Scripture. Amen. No other name. Salvation in no one else. 1 John 4, verse 14. So John had a lot to say about Jesus. And a lot that he recorded about what Jesus said about himself. He was the one that recorded that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes through the Father. Except who? Except through me. Pastor, are you trying to tell me that Oprah's wrong? Oprah's a billionaire. Oprah is nice. Oprah is funny. I like Oprah. I'd love to have dinner with Oprah. But bless God, I'm not going to let Oprah tell me about salvation. Because what she'll tell you is all roads lead to God. That is not what she learned as a Baptist kid. I can promise you that. She discarded the teaching of Scripture. Now, please don't get mad at me. I don't think Oprah's your auntie, okay? And Oprah is of one of millions and millions and millions of people in our world today that would say, let's just all hold hands and let's all get along. I'm happy to get along. But I'm not happy to say that a little short statue of Buddha and putting oranges by him and lighting incense is going to get you to heaven. Because you're going to be sorely disappointed. Right? Because in Buddhism, you're not supposed to be sad. You're not supposed to get too excited. You're supposed to keep it here in the middle, right? Well, the day that you die, you're not going to be in the middle anymore. You're going to say, Pastor Walker, why didn't you tell me the truth? 1 John 4:14, and we have seen, because John saw Jesus, we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. So among his titles is Savior of the world. Of the world. His saving action was for all. All right. Then John recorded the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus, a Jewish guy who was sincere and realized this man is a prophet. There's something special about him. And I have some questions. And I came at night. I don't want to see people. I don't want people to see me talking to him. And Jesus engaged him. And we had this amazing conversation in John chapter 3. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in who? In him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And make no mistake, not believing in him causes perishing. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. I mean, that's not the mission of Jesus. It wasn't, and it isn't today. And please be clear, the very next verse says, the world is already condemned. The world is guilty. Romans chapter 3, many other places. So Jesus is here to relieve us and to save us from that state. All right? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We might be saved. All right? So we heard that the angel told Joseph that it would be a savior, that we'd be saved from our sins, from something. Okay? Not from the Egyptians, but from an internal enemy, our own sin. Okay? And Pastor Moffat preached on that last week. So, let's look at a summary here in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. We're going to look at two places in the New Testament where Paul talks about this saving process and how you and I can think about that, act upon that, and live as those who are aware that we have a Savior. All right, Titus chapter 3, verse 3. For we ourselves... Now, please note, Paul is not saying you people. He's including himself, isn't he? So we believers, we ourselves... Titus was pastoring in Crete, all right? So we ourselves were also once... He's talking about the past, isn't he? But he's going to describe the past. And we are so... We're supposed to be aware of this. We also once were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. All right, just leave that up there. You know, there are certain scriptures in the New Testament that list what we were before Christ. And when I look at those lists, I go, yes, yes, well, no, 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 I never did that. Okay. I've never been drunk. I tried one time. It didn't work. Okay. Because I was doing it. The guys that I were with in high school, we just got the wrong stuff. All right. And really stupid. It would be foolish right there. Foolish. We were so foolish we didn't even know how to get drunk. We used Jack Daniels and orange juice. Doesn't go together. All right. Not trying to give you cocktail recipes on a Sunday morning, but I got sick before I got drunk. Okay. But all the list of the New Testament, sometimes I say, well, you know, I'm about 50%. This list right here, oh my goodness, all of the above. My little brother will, if he was here, he would witness and say, absolutely, you scored 100% on all of those. Okay? So we were once all of these things, all right? So the thing is you're in this state. You don't have what it takes to come out of that. You don't just wake up one morning and say, I have made a decision not to be hateful, all right? Jeremiah put it this way, can a leopard remove their spots? Okay, I've seen a lot of leopards. I've never seen an unspotted leopard. Okay? So then, can you who sin stop sinning? All right. So if we're going to change, if something's going to happen in our life, it's not going to be us who redeem us. All right? And foolish people can't help foolish people. We just keep passing the crazy bottle around to each other. All right? But I'm so glad that this passage doesn't stop in verse 3. Go to verse 4. But when the kindness and the love of God, who? Our Savior, toward man appeared. When did that appear? Christmas Day. God became flesh. God moved into our neighborhood. God among us, not in the tabernacle, not in the temple, but in the person of Jesus Christ. And he ate with us, and he went to our weddings, and he went to our funerals. He lived among us. The kindness, the love of God, our Savior, appeared. Now, when he appeared, why did this happen? Verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. So it wasn't that God in Jesus looked down from heaven and said, oh my goodness, look what they're doing. They're almost there, aren't they? You know, they're going to need a little help to kind of push this over the finish line. No. Romans chapter 3. There is none righteous. No. Not one. Their mouths are an open sepulcher, a grave, death. All the righteousness that they do stinks. Not their sin, their righteousness stinks. Oh my goodness, the awards we give each other in this lifetime. Huh? Of unsaved people, given to unsaved people saying, you're awesome. And God says, rancid. It's disgusting. Okay? And so, why did the kindness and the love of God appear? Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy. Our God is a God of mercy. He always will be a God of mercy. According to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration. The renewing of the Holy Spirit, meaning he did something for us. Anidoba. Anisuka. That is from this text right here. Your mother didn't do it, he did it. Your priest didn't do it, he did it. He is the Savior. Whom? Speaking of the Holy Spirit, he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That having been justified by his grace, how are you made righteous? By his grace. By his grace. Grace means free. Grace means it is gratis. It is by the one, it's based on the love and the kindness of the one who gives. There is nothing deserving in the one who receives. Nothing. Now, at Miracle Life, every 2 years, I get a gratuity. All right? It's part of the contract. And so, I like it. It's tax-free. Hallelujah. The older I get, the more I like tax-free, legally tax-free. And it's called a gratuity. That is a wrong term. It's not free. Gratuity means that somewhere, someone at Miracle Life just said, Pastor Walker, you're such an awesome guy. Here you go. It's free. You didn't earn it. No. That gratuity. I can promise you in 2 years, I earned every last kwacha of that money. And if it doesn't come on time, I'm going to go down to HR and I'm going to say, show me the money. Why? Because I earned it. It's in the contract. I've got to do certain things. That is not a gratuity. Righteousness is, one place in Romans it says it is a pure gift. A pure gift. When the prodigal son came home dirty, full of pig dung, what did he get? He got a robe. What did he use to pay for it? Nothing. Nothing. That's why Isaiah says, come and buy without money. That's grace. That's righteousness. That's what God, our Savior, has done for us. That we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is what Jesus did. Now, here is an amazing response in verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. So what our good works are not to get saved, it's because we are saved. But we need to be careful. We need to pay attention. Amen. Because the God who saved us and showed us mercy wants to show the world mercy through us. Through us as His representatives. All right. So a couple things before we go. First of all, never forget what your Savior did. Never forget. This was one of the biggest problems in the Old Testament, is that Israel kept disregarding and forgetting. Psalm 106:21. They forgot their Savior who had done great things in Egypt. All right. Look at Ephesians 2:11. Therefore, remember. Wouldn't you agree that's the opposite of forgetting? Okay, remember. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, meaning you weren't born natural Jews. Remember that you Gentiles of flesh, verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God. Remember that. Remember, remember, remember. That before Jesus saved me, I was without hope and without God. That's where I was. Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by, not by your relatives, by the blood of Christ. So I'm supposed to remember where I came from. And what is my present reality today? Now, many, many, many of you in this room, you've got an NRC card. It's got your name. It's got a number. Those are kind of super important things. But it also has a village. Some of you have never been to that place. You don't even know where it is. But what's that saying? It's where you're from. It's where you're from. Okay? And many of those places, because I've been to a few, they are wonderful places to live. All right? Maybe not high-speed internet, but oh, goodness. No traffic, clean water, right? Good food, nice people, some of them. All right? And that's where you're from, right? Well, where's our spiritual village? Hell. No hope. Without God. But we have a new card. We have a new identity. We've been transferred by our Savior. We've been washed. Amen? So, remember. Number two, continue to trust Him. Colossians 2, verse 6. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in Him. As you received Him. Well, how did you receive Him? Jesus, save me. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I can't go another day without you. Save me. All right. As you did that, live that way. A pastor, when I was in college, said this, and it just stuck with me in my heart. He said, "You as a Christian, you never graduate from Jesus." You're dependent on Him. Amen. And then lastly, remember it is Jesus, the person who saves you. Luke chapter 2, another one of these announcement stories around the birth of Jesus. There was a man named Simeon. He was a very devoted follower of Yahweh and lived according to His word. And let's read about him, all right? But as you read about Simeon, I would all you young couples out there, consider Simeon as a name for your next male child. He's awesome. All right. Consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. The Holy Spirit's mentioned three times in three verses about his life. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, that is, to circumcise a male child on the eighth day, so that they come to the temple, Simeon, who God says you're going to see the Messiah, he took him up, took up Jesus in his arms, 8 days old, this is a tiny little baby, and he blessed God and said, Lord, or Yahweh, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen salvation. He believed it was coming from Scripture. But as he held the human Jesus, my eyes have seen salvation. Not a team, not a committee, not a philosophy, not a religion. A person, the person of Jesus Christ, that you, this salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. A light to the Gentiles. You know who that is? That's us. That's us. We were the people who were afar off. And now, salvation has come to us through the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. Friend, we have enough knowledge this morning to praise God for the rest of our life and never run out of anything to say to Him. Amen. Can we pray? Father, thank you so much that in the person of Jesus Christ, your Son, you sent salvation to us. He suffered. He died. He was raised. He's ascended to you. And now there is salvation in no other name. No other. And Father, so many of us in this room, we've come to realize that. We've bowed the knee to King Jesus. We have submitted to His saving work. And so you have cleansed us. You have raised us. And you're with us. And you're working in our lives. And we continue to trust you. Father, I pray that if there is anyone in this room, God, that has yet bowed the knee to Jesus, that they are still afar off, God, that today they would say, as those Samaritans, we have heard and we recognize Jesus as the Savior of the world. With heads bowed and eyes closed, Romans chapter 10 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing His riches on all who call upon Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, this is not a promise that I'm making. These are the words of God Almighty, who sent His Son into the earth as Savior. Call upon Him. Call upon Him. You know, there was a time in my life where I went to church regularly. I knew about Jesus. I knew the Apostles' Creed. I knew who Noah and Moses were. But I had never called on Jesus to save me. See, I can't do that for you. You can't go to a class for this. Infant baptism does not do this. You have to call on the name of the Lord. And when you do, you're saved. You're saved by a Savior. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want to do that. I want Jesus to be the Savior over my life. I want Him to forgive me, to wash me. And I've been foolish, and I've been running around lusts and desires that are not from heaven. But you see, the mercy of God, the grace of God appeared in the person of Jesus for you, friend. Call upon Him today. Maybe you say, Pastor, I'm like the prodigal son. I'm a prodigal daughter, and I need mercy. I need a God who will restore and give me that robe and those shoes. And friend, there is a God who throws parties for repentant kids. Come to Him today. And so that we can pray today, everyone in this room, you say, Pastor, I need to make Jesus Christ Savior and your Lord. Lift up your hand real, real high. Lift it up real, real high. We'll pray together. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Anybody else? Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Savior of the world. That means you. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Anyone else? Lift it up real, real high. We don't want to miss you. You are a part of God's plan. Thank you over here, young man. Thank you. Congregation, can we all stand to our feet? Let's all stand to our feet. I'd ask nobody needs to be moving or going. Let's honor what these folks are doing right now. If you lifted up your hand, I'd ask you to grab your Bible, maybe a handbag, whatever you came to church with. I want you to come and meet me up front. We're going to pray together. God is going to do a miracle in your life. Can we give these folks a hand clap as they're coming? Hallelujah. Savior. Savior of the world. Thank you. God bless you. Bless you. Thank you. Bless you. Bless you, young guys. How are you? Bless you. We're going to pray. Is that okay? All right. God bless you. You come to talk to Jesus today? All right. Okay. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Why don't we do this? Why don't we lift up one of our hands towards God? Because that's where He is. But we're going to talk to Him right now. You ready? Let's say this together. Say, God, I have heard that You love me. You sent Jesus, Your only Son, for me. And when He died on the cross, that should have been me, but it was Jesus. His blood was shed for me. Jesus, forgive me of every wrong thing I've ever done. Wash and cleanse me on the inside. Make me into a brand new person. Jesus, You're the boss of my life. I follow You. I follow Your word for the rest of my life. Thank You for bringing me into God's family. Right now, I am a child of God. In Your name I pray. May we boldly share the truth of who Jesus is and what He will do in their life. Lord, we love You, we bless You, and we thank You. In Your name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Wonderful. You are dismissed.